This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
All right, let's talk some more hoops. Auburn and Alabama in action tonight. Bud Light Seltzer Hotlines, where we find Dane Bradshaw, the former Tennessee great, now with the SEC Network. Dane, welcome in. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, we appreciate you coming on. I want to start away from the SEC. It does have ramifications because Kansas State plays Alabama next, but that brawl in the Sunflower Showdown last night, and the where I want to ask you the question is, as a player in garbage time, I mean, you got the Kansas State kid that gets a steal as the clock's running out. Kansas is just content to dribble it out. Where is the code there? I mean, you coach guys to play to the buzzer, but at some point there's a code like, yeah, you don't steal that ball and try to lay it in.
Yeah, I get it. My hesitation is probably because I've been frustrated before when we were down 20 and I was still trying to steal the ball. I got a little sympathy for the competitive side too, where you're just playing to the end. Now the difference is, like, all right, when you try to like sneak behind and get a cheap steal as opposed to just, you know, hey, if they're running the play and you're staying in front of your man and all that. But there's no excuse for the reaction. Now I get it, because really, and to me, if this happened before the buzzer, like if that happened with 10 minutes to go in the second half and the Souza got the ball stolen from him, he comes down and blocks that shot and stares over the guy. You know, I think back to my old school days of, you know, watching Scottie Pippen step over Patrick Ewing. You know, like if it happens in the game, I think you would have less of a chance for the benches clearing. You know, I feel like the refs would get there and separate a little bit. But because it was, the buzzer sounded, and it just felt like, you know, everybody was just ready to go to battle at that point, and gets out of control. And then, you know, the other part too is there's probably 80 to 90% of the people within that brawl that are there for good reason to try to break guys up. But because of the perception of, you know, you get so many people in the same place, it kind of looks like, oh, it's, you know, everybody's going at each other's heads, where in reality, I think a lot of people were probably going over there to try to help the situation and get their guy back.
D'Souza did have a chair in his hand over his head, though. That was very wrestling-like.
He was in the other 10%, right?
Yes, that's correct. Now, he did not count, yeah, in the 90% at all. Like, he it meant war for him, and that chair photo is credit to, I believe, his assistant coach that somebody grabbed out of his hands just in time. But with good camera angles and all that, you're not going to relive that image, because, you know, you just imagine what the penalties will be. They're already going to be stiff, but because that image is there, like, there's no escaping it for him. I don't see how he's not suspended for multi games and possibly the season. And it's a shame. And I was kind of laughing, not to have humor out of it. Fortunately, nobody got hurt and everybody's safe. But Snoop Dogg was the controversy, you know, to start the season. He's over here like, hey, guys, I wasn't that bad. Yeah. Worry about yourself. You know? I'm a role model compared to what's going on here.
Hey, Dane, the Auburn Tigers back on the court after back-to-back disappointing losses on the road, getting blown out against Alabama and the same against Florida. Now they take on a South Carolina team seemingly playing their best basketball of the year. How dangerous is this Gamecock team?
Very much so, and I think Auburn matches up pretty well, because they've shown that they can be a really elite defensive team and they can win games in low-scoring fashion. And, look, I don't think Auburn's not who we saw this past week. I mean, they're not. They're also not the number four team in the country. But they're not a team that's just going to get run over back to back 20 point road losses. I mean, that's what happened. But they're better than that. I don't think you got to hit the, you know, code red or anything like that. But and then on the flip side, you know, I don't think South Carolina necessarily has the offense that's sustainable that they've been showing the past couple of games either. We kind of see this every year where all of a sudden when South Carolina's offense gets going, when you pair that with their elite defensive mindset, that's when they become the most dangerous team. But the trick is, can they keep that going throughout conference play? And you know, this will be an opportunity for them to prove that they can. and do it against a good Auburn defense, not one that necessarily says, hey, we're going to try to win in the 80s and just outscore you. This is, Auburn team has been built differently. And the raucous atmosphere that you know will be there, and I think Samir Dowdy will play better in front of the home crowd. So I like Auburn in this game, but there's no question South Carolina has their attention, probably more so than they would have a week ago, as well as the compounding losses that Auburn had.
I was at the Auburn-Alabama game, and some of it's due to defense, but Auburn missed some shots they usually make, and then they go on the road to Gainesville, and they miss their first 15 of their first 16. So, Dane, I ask you, as a guy who used to shoot, do you shoot your way out of a slump like this? Is it just as about getting back comfortable inside Auburn Arena? How do you get out of bad shooting woes like they've had the last two games?
Well, and another example of that with some of the slow starts they've been having offensively, one of the most impressive ones I thought they had was at Mississippi State, where that game was, I think, in the 20s around halftime, and yet they were able to get the lead. So, but that was what made Auburn special. And a number four team was not necessarily beating elite teams, but when they weren't scoring the ball well, they were staying in games with their defense. But to answer your question, Bruce Pearl's not going to stop giving players freedom on offense, finding ways to get them easy shots, and they've just got to knock them in. And it's, I don't think, you know, yeah, they're playing a little bit more from the inside out with Wiley, but you know, they can shoot their way out of that slump, merely because if there's a coach out there that's not going to allow you to just lose your confidence. Now, if you lose it yourself, that's on you. But your coach isn't going to show any lost confidence when you have Bruce Pearl on your team. And that's what makes you optimistic about them getting their offensive confidence and swagger back.
Dane Bradshaw knows that firsthand. He played for Bruce Pearl at Tennessee. He is with us on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline. You see him now on the SEC Network. Nobody attempts more three-pointers in the SEC than Alabama. They're up to 500 on the season now. But they're playing at Vanderbilt, and you've played there many times. It seems like it's the most difficult road venue to shoot at. Pardon my language there. I mean, that was not good grammar. But as a guy that has played there, is it the most difficult place to shoot on the road?
I don't believe so. But even if you do subscribe to that theory, the positive news is Vanderbilt can't shoot there either.
Yeah, they've already had an 0-for-25 this year. You're right.
Yeah. They went 0-for-25 in their last performance, and all jokes aside, they've been snake bit. Vanderbilt loses Darius Garland last year, a lottery pick who doesn't play a single conference game. Aaron Nesmith elevates himself to a projected first rounder, and he plays, I believe, two games. Vanderbilt was good enough to take Auburn to the ropes on the road, and then after Nesmith goes out, it's just really, really tough for Vanderbilt to get anything going. So I think if Alabama even, you know, shoots half as good as they normally do, that should be enough to win against Vanderbilt. But they can't overlook them and start looking ahead to the, you know, Big 12 Challenge and all that. So and this is a Vanderbilt team that's now got themselves in the NCAA conversation, and the easiest way to get yourself out of that conversation temporarily is to be the first team that Vanderbilt's beaten in a year and a half in conference play.
The only undefeated team in the SEC right now, LSU at 6-0, but their last five conference wins by 5 points or less. How good is Will Wade's squad right now?
Extremely good, and what makes them the most dangerous, I believe, is when you get down to the wire, and as we've seen, they've now won 22 of 24 SEC games, 12 straight on the road in conference play. They believe they're going to win every single game. And even towards the end of the game last night, look, did they do anything special to not let the ball get off with 0.5 seconds left? No, that was a little bit of luck. But there's a cumulative effect throughout the course of the game. He has his teams extremely prepared. They win 50-50 balls. They win the rebounding battle. And those things add up to where, you know, you catch a break at the end of the game. But bottom line is, I've been in huddles where – we were in the huddle and it was a close game and you were playing not to lose. Or you're like, oh boy, I hope what happened last game doesn't happen this game, and you're just praying that you don't screw it up. And then I've been in huddles where you're like, no matter what happens, we got this. And that's what LSU's huddle is like right now, and it's been that way for some time. And, you know, as you mentioned on the lead-in of the show, look, say what you want about Will Wade, and I won't question it. A lot of people wonder how the heck he's still coaching. All that aside, X's and O's, strategy, motivation, he is really, really good.
Dane Bradshaw, I want to ask you about the new coaches in this league. I think most Alabama fans are in love with the style of play and what Nate Oates is doing. It looks like Eric Musselman is doing a wonderful job at Arkansas. I love Buzz Williams at Texas A&M. Obviously, Stackhouse is in a rebuild situation at Vandy. What do you think of these new guys in the league?
Boy, I'm really impressed. And really, you guys follow the SEC football much closer than me. But if you looked at and just said, all right, let's do a power ranking of top 50 football coaches in college football, and then top 50 basketball or top 25, whatever you want to say. Like, I feel like the SEC has as many in basketball as they do in football. I mean, there are some great coaches. And as a result, look, there's within a couple of years, there's going to be some really good basketball coaches that get let go just because the competition and the depth of the league was so good and it's such a fine line. Eric Musselman's preparation, his team, his experience, I love his strategy. Look, they're only going to go 6 or 7 deep, and he doesn't care. He's always been that way. He's like, look, what do I care about my 8th, 9th, and 10th guy getting us 5 to 10 minutes? I'd rather my top 6 guys play against your 8, 9, and 10 guy for a period of 10 minutes, and that could be the difference in the game. And, you know, Buzz Williams has gone against his style to where they've junked up the defenses, and now all of a sudden they've got to, you know, they've been competitive in the league, which I did not see coming given their non-conference play. Stackhouse, you mentioned, they've snake bit again with injuries. And then Nate Oates, I got to see them versus Belmont. And Belmont is not an easy out. And they blew Belmont out of the water. And his emphasis on the three-point shot, it's strategic, their scouting report. And the biggest thing I've noticed is that there's more than one way to win. But you better be convinced that your way is the right way so that your players believe it. And that's what I see amongst all these coaches is different styles, different philosophies. But by God, they believe their way is the best way, and so do their players.
He is Dane Bradshaw. Follow him on Twitter, @DaneBradshaw, and see him on the SEC Network. Thank you for the time, Dane.
You got it. Thank you, guys.
All right, man. Take care. Dane with us on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline. At your favorite retailer now, 3 flavors, strawberry mango or black cherry, only 100 calories, 2 carbs, and gluten-free.
I'll tell you, this time of year when we have Dane or Andy Kennedy or, you know, Tom Hart on 3-man front, I just assume those guys are always in an airport somewhere.
Well, I think Tom Hart's got the Auburn game tonight, and he had Tennessee last night.
Yeah, I just assume they're always either in a car or in the airport.
So he's got to get from Knoxville to Auburn.
Yeah,
I mean, I know it's not wagons, but
Tom had the Alabama-Auburn game, and I talked to him when he was leaving the arena. And I said, you spending the night here in town? You want to go get a drink? He's like, are you kidding me? I got to either fly or jump in a car and drive to my next gig. And he goes, I'm just debating whether or not I'm going to sleep on Cole's couch. I think he skipped Cole's couch and just made it to the next gig. Those basketball games come around a lot faster than football. You have a week, you know, it's Saturday. Then you have a week, you know, week to prepare. Saturday, these basketball coaches, players, everything. I don't think you unpack your suitcase all year long.
Mainly the refs; they're never home.
Season goes quick, though.
Yeah, season does go quick in basketball or football.
No, and well, I mean football. Both, but I mean basketball is right when you turn the corner. It's March Madness.